Welcome to the Snowfighters Institute podcast, featuring conversations with leaders in professional snow and ice management about what's working, what's challenging, and what matters most in our industry. Here's your host, Phil Harwood.
Welcome, Snowfighters. My name is Phil Harwood. I'm a snow commander with the Snowfighters Institute, and I'm the host of this podcast. And I'm joined today by Mike Bott from Frost Solutions. Welcome, Mike. Did you have a good summer?
I did. There's never downtime when you're making hardware.
No, there isn't. And you know, especially in the snow industry, I talk about this all the time, that it's really become a year-round business. Mm-hmm. So Frost Solutions, let's talk about that. That's a good place to start. So there's probably people on this listening to this podcast who have heard of Frost Solutions, and or maybe they haven't. So let's just start from the beginning. Like, what is Frost Solutions and what do you offer to the industry?
Yeah, at the highest level, Frost Solutions makes a mini weather station that helps snow fighters be more proactive in their approach to the winter. Part of that is a piece of hardware that takes air temperature, humidity, pavement temperature, has a camera, has night vision, has a lens defroster, package that up, put it wherever you want, and then we build a forecast for that piece of pavement. So if it's fresh blacktop versus concrete versus gravel, for that specific location, we're going to help you understand, you know, when you might need to salt or de-ice, when you need to deploy your crews, when you don't. We've incorporated things like AI in the last few years, so you don't even have to watch the cameras. We'll tell you if there's something that is important for you to see, or if you want to know when the pavement temperature is going to drop below freezing, 2 hours before it's going to drop below freezing, we can do that. If you want to know right when we see snowflakes on the camera, we can tell you that too. So the whole idea in kind of how we approach the business is, how can we make your life a little bit easier as a snow fighter? I remember at one of the trade shows we went to, we were talking to two or three prospects, and a couple of our customers walked up and they're like, "You guys are still driving around in the middle of the night? What the heck are you doing? Get some of these, you know, sleep through the winter. Your wife will like you a little bit better." Our whole thing is, how can we make your life a little bit easier? And we've added a couple products since then as well, but it really started with that mini weather station.
Yeah, so it's way more than a camera, right?
That's
so,
right.
I mean, just having a camera on a specific property was a huge innovation, because before mm-hmm. that, right, what were we left with? We're, you know, DOT weather cameras mm-hmm. of roadways that didn't help us at all. Mm-hmm. Some random cameras on university campuses or something pointing at some walkway, which really didn't help us at all. Mm-hmm. You know, pictures of, you know, eagles' nests and things like that. So huge innovation has occurred in the industry over the last 10, 15 years or so. But so let's start with the unit itself. So mm-hmm. describe the unit. So you talked about a, more than a camera. So what is the unit? How big is it? And how does it mount? And what's there? What's physically involved in this unit?
Yeah, I mean, the unit itself is roughly the size of a loaf of bread, in that vicinity. It straps to any pole, or you can, you know, throw some lag bolts and put it into a wall, wrap a couple band straps around a pole and affix this wherever you want. You can move it later if you want. Typically mount these 12 to, let's say, 18 feet off the ground. And then there's a solar panel as well that's maybe the size of your laptop. It's the version we had a few years ago, we've slimmed it down every year. You know, we mentioned, you know, being busy through the summer, we get feedback from our customers and figure out how we can make the product better. So that's one of the areas that we're trying to make it, you know, smaller, a little bit less conspicuous, a little bit less of a target, you know, in some very remote areas, people may want to mess with them or whatever. But for the most part, it's a fairly small device. You mount it on the pole, you point it where you want it to go, and it's kind of like setting up a ring cam. Scan a QR code. We walk you through step-by-step how to set it up. 10, 15 minutes later, you're all dialed in, and then you can look at the platform from a web-based dashboard wherever you are. So full functionality on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop, to really give you the information you need when you need it.
And the information you're looking at on the dashboard is pretty extensive. I've seen, you guys have set up really nicely at some of our Snowfighter events in the back of the room with all your gear and big screen that shows everything. It's pretty impressive. Like, it's amazing how much information you're pulling from that station. So what kind of, you mentioned this early in your intro, but just walk us through, like, what are the big ticket items that people can see on that screen coming from that weather station?
Yeah, I kind of think of it in, let's say, three or four chunks of information. So if you want to know what's happening right now, we have air temperature, pavement temperature, and humidity. We take those readings every minute. So it's not like if a car drives by, you're blind for 10 or 15 minutes. No, we take them every minute just because we don't want you to miss out, you know, on something that's changing. We take photos. You can take them on demand, or we do them on a regular cadence, usually in the 20-minute range. Every 20 minutes, we'll take one automatically. But you can come in and request it right away. One of the things we added last year, too, was kind of a burst mode. So think of it as your iPhone Live experience. You take a photo, you kind of push the photo, and it starts to move. We basically stitch five or six photos together to give you some semblance of, okay, is it really coming down? What exactly is going on? Just to give you a little bit more perspective. And again, that was customer feedback. So that's kind of one, is what's happening right now. Is it snowing? Is there, you know, snow accumulation on the ground? Is the pavement wet? What's the temperature, et cetera, et cetera. Kind of the next big bucket is what's going to happen. So we've generated a pretty sophisticated forecast. We have data that shows it's better than your local news, it's better than NOAA, it's better than the HER. It's taking five or six of the best models across North America and fine-tuning them for your particular piece of pavement. And very realistically, you could have a different pavement forecast, you know, in that low corner where the water runs off and freezes than, you know, in a higher plot in the same property you're servicing. But the idea of the forecast is every 5 minutes, we regenerate it using all the environmental conditions, using all the conditions that we've captured, the observations we've captured from your weather station. And then we'll give you, you know, an on-the-hour, you know, forecast of what's going to happen both atmospherically. So is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? Is there going to be wintry mix? What's the air temperature? What's the humidity? What's the dew point? And then probably most importantly for this industry is, what does that mean to the pavement? So it might be snowing an inch an hour, but the pavement temperature is never supposed to drop below 35 degrees. It's not going to freeze until the air temperature drops and the pavement temperature drops when the sun goes down, for example. We've had a number of customers say, hey, I would have deployed my crews 4 or 5 hours earlier had I not followed your forecast. And sometimes it takes the first couple of snowstorms for a new customer to really believe the data, and the forecast tunes over time and gets better. But that's, I think, where our customers have found the most value is, hey, I know how much it costs to deploy my crew an extra hour or have them sit in their truck. Not to mention they'd rather be at home playing with their kids or spending time with their wife or whatever the case may be. And so this is a way to both save money. Yeah. Sleep, yeah. You know, who needs to sleep, right?
And this is property specific. I just want to reiterate, right? I mean, this is not like zip code. It's not county. It's not, you know, Michigan, West Michigan. I'm in West Michigan.
No, it's not a grid. Like it's literally that
to a property. Yep. That's insane.
Yeah. So when you set it up, we give you a pretty cool laser that you can then screw around with your cat or, you know, point to the stars or do whatever you want with one of those nice green lasers. And you use that to point to exactly where on the pavement you want to take temperature readings and obviously build a forecast. And we've seen people move it. Hey, you know what? They resurface the parking lot. And actually we don't want it where the blacktop portion is. We want it on that other section that's concrete because obviously, and it's going to behave differently. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So those are kind of the two primary areas.
Two chunks.
And then we kind of get into the AI component. Obviously AI is a buzz, you know, is buzzy in the world right now. What we're trying to do is figure out how it can make your life better and not just do some, you know, amusing thing, but low value add. So what we've done is, and this is actually one of our commercial customers, our big commercial customers said, yeah, that's great. I'm going to go to, you know, he has, I think, over 200 units right now with us. He said, I can't pay for people just to flip through photos. You know, that's just, it doesn't make sense. So what can you do to help me understand what's there and when there's something important that I need to kind of flag those units. So like I said, we rolled out, we call it Frost Vision. It's our computer vision AI. And for those of you who aren't familiar with AI and computer vision, this is an area I've been working in, you know, for years in different places. But the general concept is if you or I can identify something in a photo, we can teach a computer to do it. Sure. And so we've trained our model generally in that way, but we also allow you to provide feedback. So let's say there is a stretch where, you know, your first snowstorm comes in, or maybe you have some other weather condition that you want to make sure the computer vision understands. You can go in there and say, yeah, that's snow on the road, or no, that's salt on the pavement. That's not snow. That's just some remnant salt or whatever it is, but you can train it. And therefore it's going to dial in for your particular photo, your particular unit in a way that you've trained it to do so. So that's one of the cool features. And then one of the things we've also added that to my knowledge, no one else is doing this in weather, and the forecasting team we work with, they're like, well, no one's ever done this. I don't know if we can do it, but we've taken those photos and we've turned those into data points. So we've all been in the situation where, hey, it says that it's snowing outside. I'm looking at AccuWeather or whatever apps you have on your phone. Like, I'm looking outside, it's not snowing. Well, that's called the nowcast and kind of, forecasting terminology. What we've done is use those data points. It's snowing. We're going to use that as a data point, and we're going to basically run our model against that to fine tune what happens when all these other environmental conditions are in play at this particular location. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the DOT cameras and, you know, some of the airport, a lot of times we'll have weather stations or RWIS units, as they were called historically, road weather information mm-hmm. systems. A lot of times the properties that snowfighters serve, especially commercial ones, look nothing like what's going on the highway, right? There's not tree cover. There's, mm-hmm. you know, there's wind that can whip through there to change conditions. Whereas you're nestled in a parking lot that's covered with tree canopy, it's a very different situation. And that's the beauty
of traffic.
With no traffic, right? So it's completely different. Pavement temperature's different, air temperature's different, the environmental conditions that usually are a little bit different. There's a couple units that my town has just north of Chicago. They're about a mile and a half apart. One of the areas has tree cover, the other one does not. And you'll see a 10-degree swing in the middle of the winter in pavement temperature. You know, so if you've historically just used air temperature to make these decisions, oh, it's forecasted to drop a little freezing today, the air. Mm-hmm. I'd really employ you to like jump in, whether it's my technology or someone else's, start using pavement temperature. It's going to change how you think about servicing, you know, and providing better service to your customers.
Yeah, I've always heard that. But the tree cover, I've never heard of before. That's really interesting. And obviously, it makes sense, right? If there's tree cover, there's shade and different, you know, it's going to impact that site differently, almost like the north side of a building, maybe, where, you know, where it's a different little micro environment.
That's right.
No, that's this right. is all fascinating. You mentioned the AI, and I definitely wanted to hear about what was new and exciting with the product and AI, but what's the background? Like, how did this evolve about? And how did you get into it? And what's the trajectory in the future? What's the plan here?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
those are two very different questions, by the way. So let's start with, how'd
it's you get like, here? You know, let's go to the past and let's go to the future. Right. So the company, Mike Kirsch and I, who are the owners of Frost Solutions, we didn't found the company. It was founded by a guy named Brad Tenner in 2017. And he had been working for the South Bend Public Works. And he saw an opportunity. He said, this is ridiculous. It's $100,000 for one of these road weather information systems. There's this, you know, IoT kind of push at the time. We can build things for thousands of dollars. And you could have in his mind, we could have 30 or 40 of these spread across South Bend, Indiana. And that's going to help with where to deploy trucks, when to deploy trucks, where to salt, where not to salt. I mean, a lot of the Flint, Michigan water crisis that happened years ago was because of oversalting and the lead leaching out of the pipes, right? If we can right-size salt, it's going to not only save us money, but it's going to have environmental, you know, positive environmental impact as well.
Sure.
And so that was kind of the genesis of Brad kind of spinning this up. And, you know, he was an engineer. He kind of put it the first version together himself. It's funny, I had been aware of the company probably around that time, 2017, 2018. I saw him at a pitch event, and I had been investing in some startups, and I ran a startup accelerator to help early stage companies get off the ground. So I was kind of, you know, I probably looked at, I don't know, 3,000 startups over the course of my career. And, you know, I'm at his pitch event, like, Brad, I love what you're doing. He had some traction with some counties in the area. And I said, hey, I would love to invest. And he's like, no, we're good on money. We're good, you know. And then, you know, fast forward to 2022, and you know, they kind of ran into some startup problems. And there was an opportunity for Mike and I to kind of scoop up the company and help bring it to the next level. And we were fortunate to have that opportunity, and we love being in the space and working with the customers we work with. I mean, it's a fun group of people, and it, you know, I've done some interesting things in my career. You know, like, for example, I ran innovation at Circle K, you know, a few years back, the big convenience store, and the big promise for Circle K was to give people time back in their day. And, you know, we joked early on that kind of our goal is to give people sleep back. You know, like, if we can do this right, people are going to be able to spend more time with their family, sleep a little better at night. And, you know, the weather's unpredictable.
Make better decisions.
If you have better data, you can make better decisions. That's exactly right.
Right. Before we move on, what's a pitch event?
Oh, a pitch event. So typically, you know, tech-based startups, they'll have these events all over the country where they'll get up and pitch in front of a room of prospective customers or investors, usually like 5 to 7 minutes. And it's kind of, okay, here's the problem we're trying to solve. Here's a solution. Here's who we are as a team. And, you know, who wants to come along and, you know, be part of this thing. Mm-hmm. They're a lot of fun. And it was kind of there's a model called an accelerator model. And that's, I did that for 3 years. I had, I think it was 32 companies come through the program. And it's effectively, let's take 4 months in accelerate this business as fast as possible. Like, let's get a year or 2 years worth of growth. And it can be product growth. It could be building out your team. It could be finding investors. It could be customer growth.
In 4 months. So squeeze in what you would normally do in 2 years in 4 months.
That's right.
Just like rock it out.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. And if you've seen, you know, like Shark Tank or something like that. Like that,
yes.
That could be what a pitch event looks like. Mm-hmm. Or that's probably more aptly what interviewing these startups who wanted to get in the accelerator looked like. You know, so we'd spend a half an hour, an hour with them and just kind of poke holes and learn about them as founders. And, you know, a lot of times at that stage, you don't know if you may not know that the company is going to be good, but you really like that CEO or you like that founding team and you want to bet on them being able to solve a problem.
So you're part of the tech startup world. You're not one of the, you know, I started shoveling snow in my neighborhood when I was, you know, 8 years old, and I started my company when I was 12, and
right,
you know, that kind of thing. You're coming from a different place.
That's right.
Super cool. And we need people like you in our industry who are have fresh ideas and bring innovation and energy. But snow removal isn't all that sexy of a industry. So what was the attraction? I mean, obviously there's an opportunity to scoop up this company like you had talked about. But what, you know, really? Like, this is what you want to do with your career? Well, walk me through your thought process at the time.
There were moments.
I'm not disparaging our industry. It's a great industry. I just don't know how sexy it is.
There were moments that very first winter, because we rebuilt the product, took a lot of the learnings from the previous company, but rebuilt the product because we knew that the industry needed something better. And there were moments at 4 a.m, I'd wake up and make sure that I could log into the platform. There was a lot of stuff we did in a very short period of time to be ready for that first winter. There were moments I was like, is this really what I should be doing? Like, okay, I have four young kids, and okay, you know, but kind of going back to the sexiness of the industry, that's kind of what I've built my career around, is let me go into industries that aren't as sexy, like convenience stores as an example, and how we can
Circle K is not very sexy.
No,
let's be honest.
No, not, you know, I spent a lot of time in Circle K's during COVID. I can tell you there's nothing sexy about that. What I love is going into those industries that haven't been touched by technology, that may have antiquated approaches to things, and saying, how can we make some really big changes that are going to impact this and put the industry on a different trajectory. And, you know, if there's a core problem you're solving, and, you know, when Mike and I did our due diligence on the predecessor company, it's called Frost Control Systems, we talked to 50, 60 customers of the company at the time. And they're like, yeah, we love what this does. It only works, you know, half the time or something. But when it does, it's amazing. We're like, wait a second. You know, all we have to do is make it, like, if this worked 95% of the time, these guys, it would be life-changing. And wow. it kind of spoke to the, okay, there's something that needs to be, you know, done here. There's a big opportunity to make an impact. And we've added a couple products, you know, since that first weather station, just along those lines. And you mentioned, you know, a camera is just a camera. Well, one of our customers is like, yeah, I've been trying all these trail cams and different versions of camera only software. That's much less expensive. Is there any way you can help? Because I hate logging into multiple platforms. It's not reliable. I said, you know what? Let's see if we can find something, and then we can process things through our AI and pull it under our dashboard and whatever. Couldn't find anything that was sufficient enough for this industry. Like, you shouldn't have to go out every 6 months or 6 weeks rather and change the battery.
Yeah. It's so, gotta be super robust.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, super robust. Exactly right. And so, you know, we built this, we call it the Frost Vision camera, but it's basically everything that our weather station has, except for some of the sensors. We've kind of, you know, slimmed it down price wise. So you can have this network of weather stations that help in your microclimates to understand what's about to happen. And then some eyes in places you want some extra eyes. So we're constantly adding new things. We added a snow depth sensor last year. You know, I was amazed when I heard how Frank kind of engineered the certified snow totals. You know, this goes back to getting into the industry. Like, wait a second, he just trademarked it. And then people had
Frank Lombardo at WeatherWorks.
Yeah, that's right.
Founder of WeatherWorks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love Frank. I was like, that's just genius, you know, but you know, there's opportunities even in measuring snow to get better. And so, you know, we work with WeatherWorks. They're good friends of ours, but we added a product that should complement what they're doing and hopefully make life a little bit easier for the snow fighter. You need to know when there's an inch of snow at your location. We can tell you when an inch of snow has fallen at your location.
That's what the snow depth sensor does.
Yep. Yep.
Got it. Okay. Yep. Cool. Let's talk about your client base. You work with more than contractors, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
So what are some of the big categories of clients that you work with?
Yeah, we're about equal between commercial and municipal customers. So municipal customers being cities, counties, state DOTs. We started to add kind of, I'll call government contracts, National Park Service, Department of Defense contracts. So we've got some pretty cool DOD locations where we have units and they're doing the same thing, you know, any snow fighter's doing. Hey, we need to make sure.
It's the Department of War now.
That's right. I was going to say it, but, you know, yeah.
So go to battle. We're going to battle, baby.
They're going to battle. Right. Snow fighters should be in the Department of War, right?
Okay, but that's all within that municipal kind of government bucket, right?
That's right.
And you do
that's
a lot of work in West Michigan, right? You
have clients
in West Michigan. Yeah,
we do. Yeah,
a lot of municipal ones. Tell us about that. Like, that's a good example of how you engage with municipalities. So how did that start, and what has it grown into?
Yeah, so, I mean, actually, if you look at both sides of Lake Michigan, you know, whether it's the east side in Michigan or in Illinois, in Wisconsin, it usually starts with one or two customers that are interested. For our municipal customers, we allow them to share with each other for free. So, you know, for example, I'm in Lake Forest, Illinois, close to the lake, but I want to, the public works folks that are doing snow removal in Lake Forest also want to know what's happening an hour or 2 hours to the west. And so it's like a land and expand strategy. It's probably similar to how snow fighters build route density. Okay, let's get one key customer here. And then let's say, hey, can you introduce me to your neighbor? Here's how it's going to help you. Can you introduce me to your neighbor? And suddenly you have, you know, hundreds of units in a pretty dense area, which helps with your forecast. And We allow them to go look at okay, what's going on out in, Rockford, Illinois? Let's look at the photo there. Okay, yeah, it's snowing there. Yeah, that makes sense. The snow should hit in, X number of minutes here because, you guys know, you've been doing this long enough that you have your own forecast in your head based on what's happened in other places.
I mean, that's huge to have all these municipalities working together, because, it just, I mean, I think all of us, the typical American, when you think about it, you're like, why does every little fiefdom have its own little proprietary, chief of everything and, city council and government and police department, and they don't work together, right? So for many years, I was in Detroit and every little community, every little 6 by 6 square had its own little thing, and there was no teamwork across, municipal lines. There was no group, except for some very rare examples. Maybe some of the school districts crossed over, that type of thing. But I love seeing, our governmental, our money that we spend to support government. I love to see them working together. And I love the fact that you're willing to share your technology for free across, municipal lines for the sake of everyone, right? If
That's
I'm
right.
driving across, if I'm driving from Grand Rapids, Michigan out to Madison, Wisconsin, I'm going to drive through 30 different municipalities on my way, if not
Right.
more. So for me, I don't really care about all those. I just care that I want to get there safely.
Right.
So if there's weather coming across, and your technology is helping me get there safely, God bless you.
Yep.
On the commercial side, what's an ideal client there? Are you really kind of working with anybody? Does size of company matter with your solutions or your pricing? Or who are you trying to get from the commercial world?
Yeah, so
Everybody?
it's interesting because we always, we've got a sales team that gets out there, and Mike and I are still, jumping on calls and going to trade shows and things like that, of course. But there's always a desire to winnow down what your target customer profile is. The interesting thing or the problem with this industry is, we obviously want the big guys because you can sell in once and hopefully sell a bunch of units, but there's a bunch of little guys who are going to be big guys. And a lot of times they're the ones that are trying to be as efficient as possible resource-wise. And so instead of hiring one or two other guys to drive to the edge of your geography, let's throw up a weather station or let's throw up a camera so you can do more with less. And it's actually the same thing with a lot of these municipalities. They've had a lot of people retire. I think there were a number of people who stretched their retirement through COVID just to be kind of good citizens and, not leave their organization high and dry. But
For
then they're
sure.
done. That 22, 23, 24, that they want to be done. They want to go retire. They've earned that. And so everyone's trying to do more with less. And that's kind of the key. And if you're a little guy and this is going to help you grow faster, or expand your geography, or that big customer that's 2 minutes away says, "Hey, can you service that location that's 30 minutes away?" You hate to say no, but what's the efficient way to do it so you're not losing money? So that's one big piece of it. For the big guys, we see a lot of people with multi-state deployments. This is a great way for them to keep an eye on the subcontractors they're using, or you know what, they just opened a new branch. And maybe they don't have, it might not be that they don't have confidence, but they have a reputation to maintain and they have a new team and a new crew and a new leader in a geography. Let's make sure that we're delivering to the level we need to deliver. And then I would say categorically, what we found is anyone who is paranoid about slip and falls, you probably want one of these. One of our good customers in Wisconsin, he's like, "Oh, I just lost so much sleep about slip and falls, and now I know I have the data. I don't have to worry about, one of my guys at 2 in the morning after he's been fighting snow for 36 hours writing, 'There's a shitload of snow.' Like, that's not helpful in a legal case. And I know you recently, got your law degree. I'm sure this is probably part of it. It's a great way to mitigate your risk and have proper documentation. We've had so many of our customers reach out and say, "Hey, of course, it's always right around the time of the statute of limitations.
Of course.
Or 2 years less a day ago, can you pull me the information that happened on this site?" 5 minutes later, we send them minute-by-minute data readings, all the photos for that window, and they flip it over to the other side, and those cases go bye-bye. because it's usually that clear. You're like, yeah, we documented, we did what we were supposed to do. Absolutely. I mean, along those lines, we've also had a lot of our customers, like we all know the margin is in the de-icings, right? This is a great way to say, oh, in 3 hours, it looks like it's going to get icy. Like going back to those pavement forecasts, 3 hours, it's going to be icy. I'm going to talk to my customer. I'm going to send an email to my customer and say, hey, will you approve this? It looks like it's going to be icy in 3 hours. Here's the forecast. You just made yourself money that, you know, the pavement temperature may never have gotten, or the air temperature may never have gotten to a place where you would have thought there could be ice. But you know, that you have a more sophisticated model, you have more sophisticated data. And I know a bunch of our customers said they pay for these units every year and then some just with the de-icings, the additional de-icings they can justify.
Oh, I would imagine. And on the flip side, if you have seasonal contracts, having better decision making, better control, where you're
Right.
not making poor judgments, bringing people in too early, or applying materials when you shouldn't be. Regarding slip and fall liability, in Michigan anyway, and I know a lot of states are this way. In fact, Michigan recently, I think about 2 years ago now, the Michigan Supreme Court overruled a precedent that had been in place for over 20 years. And their rationale was to bring Michigan's premise liability approach in line with the rest of the country. So most states have an approach that now is similar to what Michigan had. Prior to that overruling, the case that they overruled was Lugo versus Ameritech. And prior to that, basically in Michigan, there was this open and obvious standard that really precluded a lawsuit getting into court. So the burden, the duty is the right word. The duty of a property owner, property manager, building owner, is to provide a safe environment, and snow is open and obvious. So if it snowed last night, hello, of course it's going to be slippery. Unless there's a giant hole in the pavement that somebody can fall into 20 feet deep and there's no cones around it, the property manager, the owner of the building, really didn't have any other duty to protect anyone about a snowfall. So a case couldn't go forward because there was no duty. Well, now, with the overturning of that open and obvious doctrine in Michigan, now the case is going to come in because that's gone. That open and obvious doctrine has been overruled. Now the case is going to go to court, and the fight's going to be over damages. So you're going to get the case is going to make it into court, whereas before it never would even make it to court. And now we're going to argue over damages. So even there, having the data is going to make a huge difference in terms of what you're going to settle for, or God forbid if it goes to jury, at least you have all that ammunition. That's a real deal. So I agree 100%. Those, however many units you're buying, absolutely you can justify that expense, that investment, just because of the reduction in liability exposure. I did want to talk about, you mentioned, some of these smaller up and coming hungry companies and using Frost Solutions as a way to grow. And I agree 100%. I think it totally makes sense. If you think about it, someone who's operating in a defined market and really has a good thing going, their clients love them, they want to grow their business, but maybe the client says, hey, can you take on the rest of this portfolio? And there's five other properties that are way outside of your service area. And you're going like, well, yeah, I can find a sub out there, but how am I going to watch them? How am I going to police what's going on? So having insight into what's happening just opens the door for growth. And that's what I love about Snow Fighters, because the typical person coming to Snow Fighters is someone investing in their business. They're being educated, they're spending money, they're buying new things, they're open to new ideas. And I got to believe that's like the perfect client for you.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Who
Probably
wants to
why you're
do
a
it better?
sponsor of Snow Fighters.
That's
Yeah.
right. That's
So.
right. No, and actually a conversation we had at Snow Fighters led to a business model innovation for us. And I think it's a particularly applicable for these kind of little, growing guys. We're just talking about the different types of, is it a seasonal? Is it a per push? Is there a variable component to your contract? And last year, kind of, I think it was around Thanksgiving, so probably too late in the season, but we pushed out this concept of a shared risk model because, we think our units are very affordably priced, but we all know the when the cash comes in and when you're hurting in this industry. And so the concept was, if it snows a bunch, and in the first 2 years Mike and I owned this company, it didn't snow that much, you know, categorically. Last year was a little better winter for a lot of us, but there's still some places like Minnesota that didn't get, you know, even close to their average snowfall. The concept is, we'll share the risk. You know, if it snows a ton, you're going to make a bunch of money. And if it doesn't, let's hope you've got the right mix of contract types so you're not eating it, right? But the idea is, if it snows below industry average, you know, you're going to pay less to start. And then if it snows above industry average, or, you know, your 10-year average, you're going to end up, you know, we'll make some money because you're making money. It's kind of balanced, just like you're doing the same thing with your customers. So little things like that.
Are there any other suppliers doing that? I've never heard of any other supply in the industry partnering like that.
I mean, so people have, I'm not aware of it. People have told us we're stupid for doing it, but why not align our model with your model? You know,
it totally makes sense, but yeah, just, wow, that's amazing. I would love to hear just about your background a little bit. You mentioned you have four kids. Like, what do you do outside of work?
I coach a lot of youth baseball. I coach youth basketball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
wow.
I have boys who are 6, 10, and 11, and a little girl who's 3. So
okay.
I'm either coaching or being terrorized by my kids and, you know, and my wife for that matter. But yeah, we stay pretty busy. I think I'm a full-time logistics coordinator for my kids and all their activities, but
sure.
I don't know, like,
good for you.
Both my wife and I are pretty high energy. We've got our hands in a bunch of things, you know, supporting school and the teams and different Cub Scouts, you know, the Cub Master of our local Cub Scout pack. We've got a camp out coming up next weekend. Fortunately, the last few years have done it around Halloween, and, you know, it could be below freezing on Halloween in the Chicagoland area. So, stay super active outdoors and having fun with the kids. You know, this is just a window there. And then Mike Kirsch and I, we own, the parent company we own, it's called Clashmore Ventures. And, you know, we'll invest in companies like a bathroom cleaning robot, is one of the companies we invested in. There's a company called
your side hustle.
Yeah, side hustle. Well, it's all in, you know, Frost is part of Clashmore, but, you know, it's where I spend almost all my time. I don't know if my side hustle is work and my family is the main hustle, but
I understand.
Yeah. But, you know,
ebbs and flows.
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for it to ebb. You know, things have been pretty fast paced. So that's,
where would someone find Frost Solutions? If you guys are all over the place, because I'm sure you're going to all the municipal trade shows, and you're going to Simon Symposium, and you're at Snowfighters, and what's coming up where someone might be able to, you know, see your product and
I'm trying to think what we have. We have Ben down in Bloomington, Illinois, I know is coming up here. We were just out at Western Snow and Ice in Loveland, Colorado. I know we have a bunch of, like, a lot of counties will say, hey, can you come in? We're getting all of our snow fighters together, you know, for our bi-monthly meeting or whatever it is. But we try to do a pretty good job of being all the places that you're going to be anyways and make it super easy. We were at PWX. That was in Chicago this year. But we do a lot of county meetings. We do a lot of, you know, APWA chapter meetings. Or I was just up in Milwaukee. One was that 2 or 3 weeks ago for the Sima Midwest Symposium. And then, you know, like, you know, frostsolutions.io, you know, if you want to talk to someone, you know, either put in a note there, and we should be able to talk to you later today.
Hit the website.
You know, it's funny. A lot of times, especially once the snow season starts, we'll get a request for a meeting coming in at like 11:30 PM. You know, once you've kind of wrapped up the day, and, a lot of times, like, I would see it and call someone back within a couple minutes. Like, what are you working for? I was like, what are you working for? Like, come on. Like, now is the window of opportunity. You know,
right.
you're busy at 7 a.m. So,
love it.
Yeah.
Hungry. No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I'll give you the last words. Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we wrap up?
I would just say, make sure you're evolving because your competition is. I think that's another big area. It's fun to see, you know, all boats rise, and it's going to challenge us to make better products. It's going to challenge you to provide better service. You know, you mentioned some of the legal changes in places like Michigan. We have to be better as an industry, And we want to be your partner to continue to make your life easier and your performance that much better for your customers.
Yeah, well said. And I agree 100%. Mike, thank you so much. This was amazing. Get caught up with you and hear about Frost Solutions and everything you got going on. You guys are great. Thank you for your support of Snowfighters. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Phil. Great to chat. Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to the Snowfighters Institute podcast. Subscribe so you don't miss future episodes and check out our upcoming events at snowfightersinstitute.com.